Shut up and sit down.
This is Off the Walk.
So today's topic has really been getting traction, especially in the last 2 years or so, as we've been seeing and reading about it more and more. And that topic is cancel culture. So according to Wikipedia, cancel culture is defined as a modern form of ostracism in which someone is thrust out of social or professional circles, whether it be online or on social media or in person. Those subject to this ostracism are said to have been canceled. Now joining us for this conversation is Callie Pham. Callie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know for sure that you are very interested in this topic. So first off, are you anti-cancel culture, pro, or maybe somewhere in between?
I would say I am somewhere in between. Now, I think this is a really sensitive subject and it can always go both ways. I think to a certain extent, it's okay, but I find that currently, it's kind of getting out of hand. This might be an unpopular opinion, but that is how I feel right now.
I don't think it's unpopular. I also think it's getting a little out of hand as well.
Well, here's the thing. First off, maybe we should describe a little bit what cancel culture is for some of the listeners that maybe don't know what cancel culture is, and explain a little bit about what happens in that culture.
Yeah, so maybe we can, I would say, dumb it down a little bit. It's kind of like if you were to say something or do something and the population doesn't agree with it, then you're canceled. So being canceled means they don't support you anymore, or you just can't, I guess, be yourself anymore, say something that other people don't agree with because it goes against the norms, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think that's from what I get from the internet, that's pretty much the thing. So if you got to be careful of kind of what you're saying or what you're posting sometimes, right? Not even of what you're saying, but what you're posting on Instagram or other social media platforms, because if, I guess, what do they call it? If the mob or if the people don't agree with you, then they will cancel you in some shape or form, right?
And you're basically done for at that point because you're not able to post anymore. You're not able to, I mean, some people lose their jobs, right? Because they're being canceled, right?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it goes beyond that as well. And we can kind of dive into that.
Yeah.
For sure. And I like, Lance, when you were saying the mob, because, you know, I mean, it kind of is. I feel like it is almost kind of like a, even almost like a bullying type of mentality sometimes, where you have this group of people who are canceling someone and they're kind of effectively saying, like, not only should we not approving of this person, but no one should be. And if you're not in the same boat as us, then we're going to cancel you as well. So I feel like it's almost, I don't know about what you guys think. I feel like it's almost like a bully type of tactic.
I think so, especially in light of recent things. And I think I hate to generalize and say, oh, it's this newer generation and everything like that. But I do find that that is the case. Like, if you're going against any type of norm or anything that's socially, I guess, acceptable, everybody's just on you. Right? And it just becomes a thing where you're wrong and everybody else is right. And because you're wrong, or because people feel that you're wrong, or what you said was wrong, or what you did was wrong, you can't have a career anymore, or you can't come out to talk anymore. You don't really have a voice anymore. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think it's gotten to a point where it's kind of like too much.
Yeah. I feel the same thing, because like, and some of the stuff people say that you're doing something wrong, some of the stuff that you say, this might not even have been recent, right? It's almost like sometimes this could have been something that you said like years and years and years ago, and somehow someone dug it up somewhere in some buried tweet or something. And like, for example, for me, the one incident that really grinds my gears, okay, is that whole Kevin Hart thing with him hosting the Oscars in 2019. And someone found something that he said in like 2011 that was kind of like homophobic. And because of that, a lot of people started canceling him. The networks were telling him to apologize, and then you can host the Oscars and stuff. And then Kevin Hart was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm done. I'm out of this. And this was something he did in like 2011, 8 years ago. And it's like, I mean, did we not all do bad things or like say things back when we were younger or whatever?
Well, let me ask you guys something. It's like, were you the same person are you the same person you were 10 years ago?
Definitely not.
No. And if you aren't, then it's like, why should, like, I get why some people get offended, but then at the same time, well, like, I don't know if it was something that was said 10 years ago, like, you aren't the same person that you were, and people can change, right? So I don't know, maybe some people don't, but I believe that some people do, right? And it's like, you know, growing up, there was a lot of things that we said that I thought was like socially acceptable. And at that time, it probably was. And I'm not going to say it out loud here in case I get canceled. But I mean, you guys all know what I'm talking about. Like when we were younger, we used to use slurs. We used to say like those types of things. And we never really thought about it. But if we were to say that nowadays, we would 100% be canceled. You know what I mean? But then say 10 years ago or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that was normal. And, you know, for people to bring stuff up from 10, 15 years ago, I don't know. I just think that's stupid.
Yeah. I think you have it right in the sense that we are always, you know, evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like, you know, there's obviously the two sides to this story. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, you know, obviously, okay, someone did something 10 years ago and now we're trying to penalize him by canceling him. But is it like, in my mind, is this the right approach? And are we getting what people want out of it? So I guess there's two cases. Is canceling somebody the right approach? And also, how do we make people accountable of their actions from I guess the past? Does he still, like, let's take Kevin Hart for example. Does he still owe an apology because of something he did say 10 years ago? And realizing maybe in light of how things are now, does he still apologize for what he had said, you know, 10 years ago? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that he maybe, you know, maybe he regrets what he said way back then, but, you know, it was a different time. And he, you know, I don't know if he absolutely needs to apologize, because at being said at that time, maybe it was a bit more acceptable and stuff like that. Like, but maybe he does feel a little bit of regret. Maybe, I don't know. Like for me, if it was just myself, I mean, in high school and junior high, I said ridiculous things. Okay. Like, I mean, what do I kind of, do I feel bad for saying some of those things back then? I guess so. Yeah. But it was a different time, you know? I don't know if I need to completely.
And I agree with Eric, because I feel like given at this time, you'd probably be like, yeah, I feel bad for what I said. Like, you know, like if I were to say that today, it's socially unacceptable. But I mean, at that time, did I feel bad for saying it? Probably not, because, you know, it was acceptable at that time, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I just think it really just depends. So it's really hard to say.
Think about like you at a family gathering, and you know, maybe some of your older relatives, you know, we're talking, you know, older grandpas or whatever, and you know, some of the stuff that comes out of their mouths are like, you know, everybody knows Asians can be racist or whatever. If say your grandpa say something crazy or something, are you gonna just be, oh, I'm gonna cancel you?
No.
It's hard to say. I think, you know, I think some people have done that with their families where, you know, somebody said something and, you know, they're like, all right, I ain't talking to this person no more. I mean, I think another, you know, especially at a time like this when we're going through this pandemic, a lot of people, you know, I mean, I know this is a whole new topic, but vaccination, right? Some people are anti-vax, some people aren't, and some people voice that. And so people start canceling, right? Because they're like, that, you know, this person, you know, they're anti-vax. So all of a sudden, you just stop talking to them. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's the right move. I'm just saying our culture now has turned into this whole canceling thing where I do feel like it's kind of like a bullying kind of tactic where we've forgotten to, you know, why can't we talk about this? Because there is two sides to the story sometimes, right? And we're not trying to understand the other side where we're just saying, hey, look, it's this way or it's no way. And I think there's, you know, we need to not just say that. We need to, hey, look, why is this person thinking like that? Or why did this person say that? And have that understanding for each other more or less than you're wrong, we're right, and that's it. That's the end of the story, or else we're canceling you, right, as we so call it right now.
I also believe, like, all of the stuff that we're talking about right now is also a very North American way of cancel culture, because in North America here I find that we tend to cancel people due to a lot of social reasons, right? So let's say places like China, more or less, they cancel things for more political reasons too, and recently they had some traction of cancel culture at their end as well. So I don't know if you guys have heard of the Nike and H&M incident in earlier this year in China, where they canceled H&M and they canceled Nike, and it affected the H&M sales by a lot. I think it dropped from like 20% in one quarter. Don't quote me on that though. So
that's major. I think you're right, because I mean, in China, it's a little bit of a different ball game. I mean, and that's where we kind of look at that cancel culture. If you're not with, you know, the what do they call it, the CPC or
the CCP, China CCP, China Communist Party.
Yeah. That's right. So if you're not with them, it's like, okay, you're not with us at all. And that, boom, right? You're on the other side. And I think we've been seeing a lot of that, right? I mean, this is obviously another very touchy subject for some people. But I mean, in North America, we have, you know, like a lot of times, you know, freedom of speech and whatnot. So, I mean, does this cancel culture kind of cancel some of that freedom out of it?
I think so, because I feel like people are afraid to express themselves. I feel like people are afraid to say things because it might get them into trouble. And I'm going to reiterate what I said before about people losing their jobs because they say something. Not saying that, like, some people shouldn't. I mean, like, I've seen some videos online where people are being blatantly racist, or they are doing something that's super horrible. And I can see why some companies don't want their employees representing that, and that's why they lose their jobs. But I feel like there's other things too, like you said, like when you were using the example of COVID and saying, like, if somebody's anti-vax or whatnot, and people don't agree with that, but sometimes it's like you're losing your job or you're losing friendships over things like that, and you can't really voice out your opinion. By the way, I'm not anti-vax, but just gotta put that out there. But yeah, I mean, I get it. So yeah, like you said, there are two sides to every story, right? So
yeah, I think that, like you said, it's a lot of people are now on eggshells, right? Like figuring out what they can and cannot say. And this is for, it's not just for like a lot of the celebrities, but those are the ones we hear about a lot in the news, right? I'm sure there's a lot of regular people that have been canceled that we don't hear about, that maybe over trivial matters potentially. And that because of that, they, yeah, like you said, lose their jobs. But some of these people, they have families and stuff like that, and they don't have powerful PR teams to help back them up or something like that. They, when they get canceled, they're, it's out. It really sucks, because it's almost like the whole world all at once is against you, which is, it's a lot of pressure, and it can hit you, especially mentally, you know?
Yeah. But then there are certain circumstances where I can see why people are getting canceled. So like, let's just say somebody like with, what's his name? Is it Harvey Weinstein? Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that. So like, if you're going to be doing things like that, like, I feel like you should be canceled for it. You know what I mean? But here we are in North America, like, you know, and that is a social issue too. But at the same time, he's getting like Netflix documentaries and stuff like that. So it kind of makes you wonder, like, where does this cancel culture and mob really stand too, right? Because like Harvey Weinstein, he's done a lot of crap, right? Like with all those like underage girls and
That's R. Kelly.
He's another. He's another one too, right? Sorry, Harvey Weinstein was that director, right? I'm thinking of that other guy, the one that got a recent documentary. The coach, Matt. See, look at all these people.
The Olympic coach.
The really rich one with was flying people into the
Epstein. What's his
Epstein?
Name? Jeffrey Epstein. Something like the one who had a private island and flying in girls, and then he had his helper, Ghislaine Maxwell or whatever.
Yeah, Ghislaine Maxwell. Yes.
Ghislaine Maxwell. Yes.
So look at it, like you already like listed three or four people right there. So it's like people like that, and you know, I feel like those types of people should get canceled for the things that they did. But here we are, and they have their own Netflix series, and R. Kelly's got his own Netflix series. And actually, before after he got convicted, his sales went up for his music. So it's kind of like, I don't know, are we really?
Yeah.
So
canceling people for their, and I feel like that is so much worse, I don't know, than some of the other things some people did or said.
Yeah.
And we're not and really
it just goes
them.
To show like there is obviously two sides to it, right? Like you say with R. Kelly, I mean, his sales goes up because of the actions that he'd done. And so you got one side that is somehow, I don't know, weirdly supporting that. And then you got another side where they're like, yo, what is this guy doing? Like, we should cut this guy out. Like, he shouldn't be able to do whatever he's doing now. So it's very controversial, right? I think this topic is definitely super controversial. But which brings me to a local here in Calgary, because this has kind of been going on for the past, I think, month here. About Sean Chu, and he's a politician in our city, and you know, a lot of protests have been happening out in City Hall, talking about, you know, hey, he should resign, right? He shouldn't be,
a councillor of Ward 13.
A councillor, there you go. Sorry.
Is it your ward, Callie? Is it your ward? Are you in that ward?
But what I mean is that he also was voted in, right? So in order to get that position, you have to vote for him. And he did get enough votes to go in. But now you have a bunch of people that are bringing up something that happened in the past with him. And and now saying, hey, this was inappropriate and he should step down. But I think that whole thing was like, there hasn't been proof of that, right? He wasn't actually convicted of anything, right?
I think he was, and then don't quote me on this, internet, might get canceled for saying the wrong thing too. Just kidding. But yeah, I think he was, but he had said that he already got punished for it already, and it's been multiple years. And the thing is, he's been voted in more than one term. So I do believe this is like his second or third term. So he does have a lot of supporters too. So I know that when there were the protests downtown around about his situation, he did have a lot of supporters saying that it doesn't reflect who he is and what type of counselor he is. So he did have a lot of supporters, but there was also a lot of people hating on him.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. It just... And I don't stand on either side. It's just, you know, these things are just so controversial, right? Like, what do you do, right? Like, I'm not condoning what he did or whatnot. But I mean, at the same time, like you say, it's been so many years now. And, you know, I think as humans, we tend to remember the bad things and not the good things, right? So if you've done one bad thing, I think I read this thing where the teacher was saying, what was the teacher say? It was going, oh, what's 1 + 1? And the kids were like 2 or something. Anyways, it goes on and she's like, what's 9 + 1? And the teacher's like 9 or something like that. And they all remembered it. All their students remembered that the teacher said 9, but what the teacher was trying to say was something like, you know, you see, you got like 9 or 8 questions right and you got 1 wrong, but in life everybody only remembers that 1 thing that you did wrong. Well the 8 questions that you got right, that's out the door, right? So
sounds like an Asian parent.
Oh yeah. Totally. Well, you got 1 wrong, I don't care, you know, 90%.
Yeah, I know.
Do you guys think that it's because maybe the justice system didn't really work, and that's why cancel culture was coming in? Like, for example, like, I don't know, Harvey Weinstein, I don't know, maybe, and I don't know exactly the details of it, but like, did many women already had come forward before, but no one did anything? Like, no one really did anything. There was no investigations or something like that. And then finally, there was a movement of people to come in and to finally get him. I think it's the same because R. Kelly in the past has been in trouble before, but nothing seemed to happen to him. And now like a group of people have come up. Is that why?
I think so. Like, I think that movement you're talking about is the Me Too movement, right? And it's just like a band of like females together helping other females who have been like sexually abused in the past and weren't able to voice out all the things that were done to them, right? And all the abuse that they've been to. And now that they have a support of a band of women, it's easier for them to share their story and it's easier for them to be heard. So I do feel that, because like without the band of people, nobody would have listened. Nobody would have helped them, right? Nobody would have even paid attention. So
there could be like, there can be a point in which it's justified. And then there's a point where you kind of jump over that, where they just start going after everybody. And there's like kind of like that fine line, I guess you could say, right? Where it's okay. And then after that, it becomes like overkill and people just go nuts on every little thing, like Kevin Hart. that's the thing I always go back to.
And I think that's what they call snowflake culture now too.
Oh.
So like
snowflake. What's that all about?
So because snowflakes kind of melt easy, I guess they're soft. So that's what they're saying. The new generation is snowflakes because everybody gets upset over, sensitive and upset over the littlest things. So you can't say anything to make them upset. You can't say anything that goes against the norm. So people mm-hmm. like Dave Chappelle, people like Kevin Hart, they get canceled so easy, right? It's mm-hmm. all because of the snowflake culture.
Yeah, I feel like that, you know, there, like, again, it, there's good and bad, because I think, you know, without speaking out, then you don't get these kind of realizations, you know, like, the, for example, like the Me Too movements, right? If females don't come out talking about these things and start making, then it just becomes a norm all of a sudden. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it, like we were talking about whether the cancel culture, you know, like, I think, like you were saying, Eric, like, there's a time and place to kind of use, so call it like a tool, right, to kind of get the message out there. And then there's other times where you're just using this tool, you know, not understanding what you're trying to really do. So I, yeah, this is a really touchy subject to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, and from what you were saying before, Lance, on what can we do to kind of change it, you know, instead of doing a complete cancel, and maybe, you know, this can apply for certain situations, but like you said, having a two-way conversation, like, say someone, you know, they say something that's a bit non-PC or off about it, that doesn't mean you need to just cancel them straight up and then get a whole group of people to do the, just go hard at them. You could just have a conversation with them, tell them, hey, you know, this wasn't, you know, what you said wasn't great and all that. Maybe you're, this is maybe the correct way to say it or something like that, in a more positive tone, rather than just like just cutting them immediately and then it's done, right? I think there's more productive way to change in that sense, have some compassion maybe in that way.
100%. I agree with that. But at the same time, I feel like the internet is a scary, scary place. There's always no filter. I feel like everybody can hide behind their computer and just say whatever they want to say, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I think that's a huge issue. Like, it's hard to have, I'm going to say it's hard to have compassion, but I feel like for a lot of people, it's hard to have compassion, I guess. Like, they, like what Lance said earlier, they don't see the good, they just see the bad, right? And once mm-hmm. one person highlights the bad, everybody just jumps on it like a bunch of vultures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, like when we're talking about this cancel culture, I mean, really, is this really something new that's happening? I mean, you know, even without the internet, I mean, I think people have been doing this for, you know, many years now. Is this, if you're not with the you know, the whole group, then you're out, and you get how do you say, you know, you get scrutinized by having an open, you know, at one point in time, you know, if you came out, if you were gay or lesbian, you would, you know, get, you know, that's like, oh, that's not right, you know. And I think, you know, there's lots of articles talking about people, you know, prescribing drugs to people because they're like, oh, this is, you know, this isn't right. It's mentally, something is imbalanced, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's how it's been for a long time. And then finally, you know, the more we have these conversations, the more we open up, the more finally we can see both sides. And now, you know, things are changing. And I think that may need to be the case with this cancel culture as well, is that we've gone backwards to where we have come to, is we have to, you know, sit down, have that conversation. The more we can educate each other on the stances that we stand, then we can, you know, again, try to show that compassion by understanding why everybody's at, you know, in a different perspective than yourself, right?
Yeah, I agree. I also feel like it's hard to do that nowadays too, because once people start getting canceled and they come out and they apologize for something that they're doing, the first thing they get is, that's really ungenuine, right? Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, you're only doing that because you lost followers. You're only doing that because people are hating on you right now, right? And some of these things are like, it was something somebody said 12 years ago or 10 years ago, and they're apologizing it for now, and it still doesn't work, right? Because that's all people see. They're just like, okay, well, you're only apologizing because of XYZ. You're not apologizing because you actually mean it. And then what else can you do? right? Mm-hmm. They're still going to cancel you regardless. Yeah. So,
man, it was interesting when Lance, when you were talking about coming out gay, didn't when Ellen came out, didn't she like essentially get canceled for like, didn't she not, was unable to find any jobs in Hollywood for a really long period of time before she got back onto the Ellen show? Like, cause she was on a show before. I remember back in the '90s, she was in a show and then she came out and then she couldn't do anything for a long time. But this was like 20 years ago or something like that. And it looks like we haven't changed. Well,
I don't know, but I think she got canceled recently for her work culture as well.
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah.
So I think she got canceled recently because of a toxic work culture.
Yeah, man. There's so many, like in my mind right now, just flooding in. I know Chrissy mm-hmm. Teigen just got canceled for something. I can't remember exactly what.
Something with a makeup artist. I think she said something to a makeup artist, or she was being really mean or toxic to a makeup artist, and then she got canceled for that recently. And she's a really vocal lady too, like on her mm-hmm. Twitter and stuff. She always speaks her mind. So I'm not really surprised that she got canceled, just because she's just very vocal about her feelings and everything. So that kind of makes you think, like, can you be vocal about your feelings? Can you be vocal about anything without people wanting to cancel you, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I know Chris Pratt just recently got canceled because I remember he tweeted something about, like, his son or something like that, but then because he had another kid or something because he had a son with the Schwarzenegger, what's her name? But he had another kid with, what's her name? Faris.
Anna Faris, right?
Didn't he get canceled because like somehow his tweet, which was supposed to be him, like a loving tweet or something for his son, because it didn't mention, or I think the other kid or something like that, somehow he got canceled or something like that. It's like so much crazy.
I don't know. I didn't hear about that one, but I think there's just, you know, when we're talking about texting and tweeting, I mean, there's so much room for misinterpretation. You know, it's so different. You can bring out things just so out of context that, you know, and that's what the internet loves nowadays, right? I mean, that's half of the problem is that, you know, we as people, unfortunately, we love that kind of drama. We love that kind of news. So the more we get of that, I mean, truthfully, if we didn't want that, who cares, right? And I mean, the less people care about it, the less it gets reported about it. But it's because we just love that kind of gossip, that kind of, you know, oh, she did this or he did that. And, you know, that we turn to this and then we're like, oh, this guy's such a dick, or you know, whatever, stuff like that, right? That it's unfortunate, but we have to kind of self-reflect on ourselves and really be like, okay, look, the more we tune into this, the more it becomes acceptable, right? And so,
I agree. And that also brings me to, so do you guys think that we should take cancel culture to another level that's even higher than the level that we have here in North America? And when I say that, I mean like cancel culture in Asia. So like say China or Korea. So with their celebrities, once they do something wrong or against the norm, they're completely wiped from the internet. Like you can't purchase their music, you can't support them anymore, like there would be nothing about them. What do you guys think of that? Like, do you
that's effectively erased, deleted.
Yes. And it's true. So I think this summer it's happened to three of like China's major stars. One of them was Chris Wu. He was a Korean celebrity that went, well, he was Chinese, but I think he got his fame from Korea in a K-pop group. And then what had happened was he moved back to China, and then he was involved in a scandal, and he was actually an A-list celebrity. So he was doing commercials, or like he was a spokesperson for like LV, Bulgari, so like really big brand names, and they dropped him right away because he was part of a huge scandal with drugs and raping underage girls. And he was completely canceled. So you can't download any of his music. You can't stream any of his music. I think in China, they don't have Google, but they have a search engine called Baidu. I don't think you can even Baidu him. Wow. So he's like just completely erased from the internet. Yeah.
It's like, who's this? What's his name? Chris Wu?
Chris Wu. Yeah. We'll be able to Google him, but okay. Chinese yeah. people won't be able to. And yeah, so they stopped everything. So, and they also recently came out with a ban where he's blacklisted. So he can't even make a comeback. So.
Mm. Wow. I don't know about that because that's almost like straight up. And that's the government that's doing this, right? It's like straight up government censorship of
yeah. So, and how do you feel about that? Because it's like, say somebody like Jeffrey Epstein or you say R. Kelly and stuff, it's just the people themselves ostracizing these guys because clearly they did something wrong. But then you have someone like Chris Wu and it's the government and literally the whole country or the nation yeah. doing it to you, and you're never able to bounce back from that.
Yeah.
And for his crime, do you think he should be allowed to bounce back from that too? Because he did, like, I mean, raping underage girls and drugging them. Like, how do you guys feel?
I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that's a tough one because, I mean, I think, you know, obviously, We have to have some faith in the justice system, right? That if he was convicted, that he should serve the time, right? It's not that he's an A-list celebrity. Oh, he gets away with it, right? Mm-hmm. No, that shouldn't be the case, right? He should be treated just like any other human being, that mm-hmm. if you convict this crime, right, you should do whatever the justice system has in place for you, right? So I think that should be number one. And then number two, I mean, the government, you know, stepping in, I mean, you know, that's a tough one, right? Obviously, the government is the government, the voice of everyone, right? We live in a democratic, you know, nation here. And, you know, when we say the people doing the cancel, obviously, it's not everyone, right? Like we were just talking about R. Kelly and his sales goes up. So you have supporters of R. Kelly and then you have the rest, right? So I think in some sense, the people have spoken. It's just that I think with the media and everything, we've taken maybe, you know, 1,000 people canceling or putting enough pressure on that the higher ups don't want this bad publicity, right? So then they like, okay, go and apologize for whatever you did and do all this stuff. But is that a representation of the entire nation? Like, is everybody in America not like these people? And I'm not saying that they do, but I mean, what is the numbers, right? I don't know. We don't know.
I think I agree because the justice system, like you said, say R. Kelly got convicted, you know, he's serving, I don't know how long he's going to be in jail for. And, you know, yes, he was canceled, but he did something bad and he's doing his time now. As to his music, I think people they have a choice, right? If you don't support him, don't listen to his music then, right? And that that could be just your opinion. Another person might be like, you know what? I don't support him. I think what he did was bad too, but I still want to listen to his music. And I think that that's where you have that choice to either yes or no, right? Versus kind of like the cancel culture where they effectively tell you, we don't support that person and neither should you. And that's kind of like China, the government. We don't support Chris Wu and neither should you. And so we're just going to erase this guy from the internet completely.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, right? When we're talking about China, I mean, I think I was, you know, I think it was a few weeks back or a month ago, but there's that tennis star from China. And she was, you know, she came out talking about that there was government officials that, I don't know if she was sexually assaulted or something like that. But she came out and all of a sudden she went missing. Like, people didn't hear about her. They couldn't find her. And then I think the tennis, you know, community was basically, you know, they were scared for her, right? So a lot of outside, you know, nations outside of China were questioning, like, hey, is she okay? What's going on with her? And so, like, we talk about cancel. I mean, that's like what you're, you know, Callie, what you were talking about, that next level of cancellation, right? Like, and she's just voicing, like, we were talking about Chris Wu, who was, you know, convicted of sexual assaulting minors. Was that what you said?
Yeah.
So we're talking about that. And then we're talking about a woman, you know, that comes out talking about that she was sexually assaulted and it was a government official, and yet she's being canceled. So, like, it's this, you know, what's wrong? What is right? What is wrong? Right? I mean, I think that's wrong, right? I mean, if you look at it, obviously, you know, I think from the perspective of China, looking at that, they don't want to say, oh, well, yeah, government officials can get away with anything. They don't want, you know, they don't want this representation that their governments are bad in any sense, right? So when something like this comes out, boom, you are, you know, you're silenced, right? Right from the get-go. And that, you don't want that, right? Or else we'd be stuck in the Stone Ages, right? It's no different from a dictatorship, in my sense, anyways, what I think.
No, I agree. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just gonna say, like, yeah, the government in China, they can just at whim, whatever they choose. It doesn't, I mean, if they wanted to cancel ice cream, they'd just be like, all right, guys, getting rid of us. like they could do whatever they want over there. It's I feel like it's different.
It is different. But also, like, do you guys feel like when the mob in China kind of jumps on these issues, like, is it because they feel a sense of nationalism, or is it because they feel like they'd be ostracized for not jumping or not being part of the mob? So, like, say for something like H&M and Nike, the government didn't tell them to cancel H&M or Nike. Like, it wasn't the government that was upset with H&M or Nike. It was actually the people that decided to cancel the two brands. Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm sorry, I don't actually know what the background is for why were they canceled?
Over a really controversial issue as well. So I think it was sometime in March or February of this year. There's a province in China, Xinjiang. A lot of the cotton comes from this area. So it was suspected from the international community, so other countries, saying that China or the CCP were basically putting the ethnic people, so I think it's the Uyghur people, in concentration camps and forcing them to farm cotton, and they're committing genocide there. It's a touchy subject because some people believe it's true. Some people argue that it's not true. I don't know if there's actually evidence. There might be evidence about it. So it was a huge political issue. H&M and Nike came out and they said that they don't support the cotton from that province because that's what China is doing. So they're committing human rights issues. So that's what happened. And then I guess the Chinese people took it as, you're kind of attacking our country and saying our country is doing something that they're not. And that started a whole momentum of everybody trying to cancel H&M and Nike because they said they're not going to use cotton sourced from that part of China.
Wow. And boom, sales dropped
20%. So, and the thing was, it wasn't like the government shut down H&M and Nike because they were able to operate, but people were taking down signs of H&M, like celebrities were canceling Nike. Nike lost a lot of their they canceled their endorsements with them. It was like a huge thing. Like, celebrities were going on TikTok, so social media platforms, saying that they don't support Nike, they don't support H&M anymore because of this, because they're attacking China. So is it like a sense of nationalism that they're doing this, or I don't know.
I don't know. That, it could be, or maybe fear from the government. Yeah. I don't know.
I think a lot of people think that there is fear, but there is a lot of sense of nationalism within, you know, I mean, I lived there for a couple of years, right? And you have to think that, you know, China, you know, when we're talking about 20 years ago, a lot of places were in poverty, you know? And so, you know, the Chinese government has pulled, you know, their citizens out of, like, there's still people in poverty, but I mean, a lot of people have come in to be, you know, super rich and even be able to, you know, afford things that they never thought they could afford. So I think there's a lot of sense of pride in what their country has done and how far they have gotten these past, you know, 25 years. And so, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, and the reason why I'm saying that is we're looking at, like, for example, Hong Kong. You know, 1997 was given back to China, but, you know, there's been a lot of protests that's been happening last year. And of course, we don't really hear a lot about that now, but when you go, I mean, I've watched videos of, you know, Hong Kong doing protests outside of Hong Kong. So, for example, maybe in Canada or United States or in Europe, you'll also have a lot of Chinese nationals that are from China that are on the other side going, you know, fighting for China. So I think there is a lot of pride there as well that, you know, why are you bashing China? We are, you know, one family and, you know, you're saying all these things. But, you know, at the same time, have they been able to see the other side? Once again, that communication, have we been able to try to understand the perspective of the other side on both parties, right? And I think that's the conversation that we have to have, or else it just becomes a, you know, a you and me battle, right? Just back and forth. So,
and then speaking on this topic too, then do you guys think that, I don't know, like all these big brands like LV, like, you know, Balenciaga and all of these other huge brands, like they're scared to stand up for what they believe in because of the purchasing power of the Chinese people now. Because once they speak up, like Nike or H&M, they start losing their sales like 20%. Mm-hmm. Like that's crazy. So a lot of them chose to stay silent, or that's what people say. They choose to stay silent about certain things because their factories are there, because, you know, purchasing power is there.
Yeah, it's true. I think there's been celebrities that have, like, I thought I heard about John Cena apologizing in Mandarin or something like that. Like, Lance, I don't know if you, did you hear about that or something?
I know John Cena speaks Mandarin. I don't know if he apologized.
There have been instances of, like, I think celebrities apologizing because, you know, maybe they said something that would have angered China in a way, but because, I don't know, maybe there's a lot of Chinese people that watched wrestling and now they're going to just boycott John Cena. So John Cena had to do something about it. I don't know the exact details, but I feel like I remember hearing something about this, which is where it's gotten to because of the power that China has, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, China is like the, you know, second largest economy of the world, right? They have a lot of buying power, you know, they have a lot of money. But I think that's the thing. I mean, if nations feel that China is doing something that is not right, I mean, we should step it up, right? Like, you know, I'm sure US is probably one of the first to do something like that, right? Is to come up and stand. But as a nation, right, we have to stand up for the things that we believe in. If we don't, we just, you know, I don't know, you don't have a voice anymore, right? Then what happens to us? So I think, you know, when we talk about like World War II, World War I, these are like some of the most common things, right? Everyone was just fighting for freedom, right? So freedom of speech, freedom to do anything. And that's why, you know, people are allowed to say whatever they wanted to say, right? People are allowed to do whatever they kind of want to do, right? Within the system that we have built. But I don't know, right? It's a tough one. I get what you're coming from, right? I think as a company, you're obviously scared because your sales is going to go dramatically down. But I think as a human being, we have to stand up for rights that we believe in, right? Just for yourself. And as a company, if you have a strong leader that can show that, and that it's not just all about the profits, but the stance of what you think of humanity, that's where we need to have strong leaders there, right? But oftentimes, too many people, it's all about the money, right? It's all about the ching ching, right? So,
but then that just brings us back to, so if you're saying something that you believe in that's socially unacceptable, should you still say it just because everybody else thinks it's socially unacceptable?
I think as humans, we have to stand up to what we believe in, no matter what, right? Because if we don't, once again, we fall back to how it was before, right? Like, we talk about the Me Too movement. What happens? Oh, no, women, I'm not saying this is just me saying, but, women should not be in acting. They should stay at home. They should, you start to lose all of these rights, and we make these a norm, right? So if we don't stand up for what we believe in, yes, are you going to get crucified? Probably, right? There's a lot of things that when the first people first came out about, they were, beaten down, right? Many, many times. But, I want to believe that in humanity, we all play a role, and we can make changes. We can make a change in this world slowly, obviously, right now, very slow. But we are. If you take a look back 50 years ago, where we were 50 years ago versus where we are now, I think there's been tremendous progress, right? And we have to keep moving forward. We can't go backwards, right? So I think you should own it, whether it's right or wrong, right? I mean, we got to own it, and then we can contemplate about it. We can bring everybody in and say, oh, that, no, that guy was wrong. I mean, hey, I bet you Adolf Hitler thought he was doing the right thing, right? He thought he was doing the right thing. He sold it to everybody, right? Everybody was like, no, man, we got to get rid of everybody else. This is the right way. And a lot of people believed in what he believed until he was opposed by, other nations. And then, we learn from this history that, this is not right, right? And then we can go and debate about it and take a look at what had happened and all of those kind of things, right? But this needs to happen, I think, as a process, right?
I find it interesting that we started off talking about individuals and then we moved on to nations. And then, it's funny, I was thinking about just like a basic scenario of like standing up for what you believe in, where like everybody's, say you're in a group of friends and you're like talking about a movie and everybody's like, yo, that movie sucked. In your mind, you're like, oh, I love that movie. And then what you say is, yeah, that movie sucked.
And you know what? It does apply. Like, it applies everywhere, right? It's always like you going against the norm or like, an unpopular opinion. And that's how everything starts, right? It's because you don't want to stand out. You don't want to be different from everybody else, right? And I think that's like the biggest thing about cancel culture. It's like the moment you stand out or you do something that's against the norm, that's what happens to you. So, I mean, like, you can take cancel culture and you can apply it to all sorts of situations, I guess. And like you said, Eric, in your small friend group, everybody just not liking a movie, you think it's great. The moment you say it's good, everyone's going to look at you and be like, what the hell, man? Like, I thought that movie was so bad. Like, you have bad taste.
You're
right?
Canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of peer pressure. I think we're creatures of trying to, we all want to be liked. So we all fall into trying to be somehow normalized, right? By what we think is normal by the general public. But I think it just takes, a tremendous amount of courage, to stand out, And whether that's right or wrong, obviously, like there are things, like I say, that are going to be wrong. But if you own up to it, you're going to get the consequences of what's going to happen to you. But I mean, there has been, like, again, going back to the tennis player, right? Mm-hmm. What happens if she didn't say anything? She's just like, okay, like I just keep my mouth shut. Well, she would have been, you know, assaulted over and over again and reliving this trauma in her mind, right? Is that right? I mean, I don't think it is, but again, she spoke out about it, right? And now she's being canceled. And you know, is that right? I don't think so.
What happened to her, by the way? Did she come out now? Or is she still missing?
I heard she came out and she said she was okay. So that's the last that I read about her.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
We don't really know what goes on behind closed doors or CCP doors, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, like sometimes it's not just the general public. It could just be like a group of people. You guys know the BTS K-pop group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
BTS. I think, what's his name? Late Night with, he's that British gentleman, James Corden.
Yeah.
James Corden, yeah.
So then he's a huge BTS fan as well. And BTS has been on his show multiple times when they fly to LA. And I was watching something the other day and he told them that the ARMY, which is BTS fans, had canceled him and gave him death threats because he had made a joke, saying that BTS fans are a bunch of 14-year-old girls. And he meant it as a joke, but they took it completely the wrong way. And he was saying how he was getting canceled and getting death threats and whatnot. And he actually had to get BTS to come on the show. He apologized to them and get them to be like, we're okay with James Corden, so that the group of ARMY would just leave him alone.
Wow. That's intense. And I mean, James is rightfully so to be afraid. Like, I mean, the ARMY is huge, right? I was like, so like.
But yeah. Again, like, have they taken this out of context, right? I mean, like, we know that James Corden, you know, he's a joker. He'll make jokes, right? And yet, you know, people take it literally. Like, you know, like, come on, guys. Like, what's going on here, right?
Yeah, so it kind of like gives you something to think of too. And like Dave Chappelle, a very controversial character, right? Mm-hmm. Just recently, I think he came out with his new show or his new stand-up comedy on Netflix, and there was a lot of backlash on it as well. But then, you know, Dave Chappelle has been doing this for many, many years. I don't know about you guys, but when I watch Dave Chappelle, I know the type of comedy I'm going to be given when I'm watching his shows. But people are really sensitive over a lot of the things he says, and unpopular opinion for most people. I might get canceled for this, not going to lie, but I just feel like if you don't like what he says, then don't watch it. Right?
Exactly. You have a choice.
Yeah. I feel like you do have a choice. And I feel like if you don't like somebody and you already know, then why turn it on, right?
Exactly. It's like when you go on YouTube sometimes and then people are trashing a video or something, and they're like, well, if you didn't like it, you took the time to write a comment that this is a video, it's a waste of time or something like that. So it's like, okay, just don't watch it then, just get out. Like, I find Dave Chappelle hilarious. I think, and comedy is one of the last mediums where people can be open and talk about controversial subjects in a lighthearted way and stuff, and put their jokes around and stuff. If you start canceling that, what are they going to do? There's going to be nothing left, you know?
But apparently you can't, right? Because there was a huge movement. There was a huge deal and like a huge commotion made about the things that he said and the things. Because, I mean, when you're watching those types of comedies, especially stand-up, there is going to be like racism. There is going to be like, you know, sexist jokes and all of that kind of stuff. I just feel like people are overly sensitive about it, because me going into a show or like watching a comedy show, I guess I laugh because it's meant to be a joke. It's not meant to be taken seriously, right? And it's the whole context thing again, where I think people take these what these comedians say, and they kind of say, okay, this is, you actually mean this in real life. Like, you're actually a racist, or you're an actual homophobe, but that's not the case. They're just doing it for laughs, because we all know that it's just a joke. You know what I mean? And for the people laughing, does that make us racist? Does that make us homophobes? No. Mm-hmm. We're just there for the laughs, right? But when the moment when you're canceling a comedian for that, I just think it's over the line. It's way too much now, right? You're just trying to push your agenda on somebody that you already know from before have always made these kind of jokes. And it's just like, if you don't like it, just turn it off. Don't watch it. Don't tune into it and move on with your life.
Yeah, exactly. Why did you even show up to this if you already kind of knew what was going to happen, you know? And I guess if you're canceling Chappelle, you should be canceling like you said, the entire rest of the audience who laughed along, and you know, for everybody else, it was a great show. It was filled with laughter, and there was a lot of, you know, Dave Chappelle too, you know, his jokes and stuff like that. There's a lot of I think that his jokes are also very intelligent in a way where he's different to me. This guy is like, I've been watching him for so long, the way he talks and stuff is just, it's amazing. That's all I'm going to say. The way he talks about things that are happening in life and social media or whatever like that. I don't know. I think he's a genius, but I guess some other people think that he should be canceled. And
you know what's crazy? Even for you saying that, like, you're a supporter of him, you might get canceled for that too, Eric.
You're going to get canceled, man. I'm gonna cancel you because I'm on the other side. On the other side. No. I mean, all seriousness, though, right? Like, I think people need to have an expectation when they go into these kind of comedy clubs or stand-ups and know what kind of content is being, produced out of here. But there is the other side to that, right? Is when we talk about racism, when we talk about these kind of jokes, is it okay to talk about, you know, the racism jokes or sexist jokes? When you're on the other side of it, it may be very like a very touchy, controversial subject, you know, that they're coming across. So, you know, again, I think the key is to have these conversations, right? What Dave Chappelle is doing, or what is his content talking about? Is that something that is funny? Let's bring that content over and discuss about it, right? And instead of canceling, to have that conversation to say, look, it's obviously not right. It's meant to be funny, but you know, where's the fear? The fear is that we normalize it, that these are just jokes and that's okay. So if I make a racist comment and I say it jokingly, that's okay. Or would that be bad on me? Right. If I, you know, started making fun of another culture or something like that, and I'm just saying, hey, it's just a joke, guys, relax. Is that okay? I mean, that's where we need to have that conversation and say, well, yeah, it's stand up. So where do we draw the line? Right. I think that is the real conversations that we have to have. Right. Instead of canceling, just say, no, that's straight out wrong. Okay. Well, why is it wrong? You know, obviously, the more that, you know, more support we get for it, then what does that mean too, right? And figuring out what does all this mean, right? Like, sure, we think it's funny, but what happens if the jokes become about Asian people? Is it funny now to us? I don't know, right? I mean, he's only making fun of maybe black people because he's black, and it's just like an Asian, you know, an Asian stand-up guy like, what's his name? Ronnie Chan or Jimmy O Yang, you know, making fun of Asian people. It's okay because we're Asian. We can make fun of ourselves. But is it, you know, I mean, it's almost like, we look at black people using the N-word, right? It's a very derogatory term, but, you know, they're allowed to use it, but they're they hate it when somebody else, like if a white guy said it, it'd be like, whoa, what'd you say? Right? Or an Asian guy says it, it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But yet they use it all the time, that it's normalized for them to say it, but it's not okay. So like if we walked around calling each other, you know, whatever, chinks or something like that, right? It's like, is that okay for me? Because I'm Asian, I can use that word? I mean, again, I don't know, right? Like,
yeah. No, I get where you're coming from.
If Dave Chappelle made an Asian skit special, I would enjoy that for would sure. Would you? Okay.
Not gonna lie, I'm with Eric on this one, because I'd probably laugh at most of the jokes. I don't know. I guess it's different if you're going into it with the mindset of, you know, you can't take these things that seriously because it's a stand-up. But I understand where you're coming from, Lance, where you're saying that where's the fine line between the two, right? Where when you're taking the joke too far, or when you start normalizing it and people would be like, oh, I don't know, like a white person or a black person calling you a chink, I guess. And then it's like, whoa, like that's too far. And then they're just like, oh, it's just a joke. Now, is that okay? Because they said it's a joke, right?
Yeah, it might start to get into like
blurry
because like imagine if Dave Chappelle had, after every show that he did, then he released another thing where he's kind of explaining all the stuff that he did, and it would get pretty so. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so I mean, obviously we talk like, look, if you look at like say rap and all these different types of music, right? And we get into the lyrics, right? But I'm singing the lyrics. Is that okay for me to sing?
Because you're just enjoying the song. You're not meaning, right? Like you're just.
I'm not saying it. I'm not being racist. I'm just singing the song. But hey, if a black guy saw me singing that, would he be like, "Yo, what's up, bro?" Or he'd be like, "You motherfucker!" Right? Like, what you say, bro? Right? Like, it's like, whoa. Like, you know, like, I don't know, really.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It's a little bit tough, I think, for us to imagine it, because obviously we don't have music or any, you know, even a lot of times we don't have like in the topic of the racist terms, we don't necessarily use a lot of that, right? Even in stand-up, Jimmy O Yang or Ronnie Chang, you know, like he doesn't use that kind of language, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's almost acceptable when black people use that language with their music or with their stand-up, it becomes like, okay, we're not allowed to say that, but you're allowed to say that. So where do we draw that line, right? And again, that's a conversation again, right, that we need to have, right?
I don't listen to that much Chinese rap music because I can't understand what they're saying, but maybe they are saying stuff. I have no idea. I don't know too much Chinese rap.
I don't know. I don't even know if there's a racist.
It's not racist. Like there is Chinese rap and it's actually pretty good. It's not bad. I'll send you guys a link maybe later.
Sounds good. Okay. Well, Callie, thank you for joining us on this conversation on cancel culture. It was definitely a very interesting topic. And you know, we had some serious points, we had some laughter, you know, it's just like how a normal conversation should be. But I think we touched on definitely a lot of interesting points. And it's points that we otherwise wouldn't have considered, because cancel culture is something that's really, like I said, it's in the beginning there, it's really gaining traction. So, I mean, if you think about it, every year, there seems to be more and more people that are getting canceled, right? I mean, this is probably going to become more widespread, I guess. There's more and more people are going to be digging up stuff. As long as you have a footprint in social media or how many tweets you've done, someone or somewhere is going to find something against you eventually, right? Like just the number of people that we named off in this episode is like just so many. I think I forgot to mention JK Rowling. I think she was just canceled recently as well.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. That's so sad. Please don't cancel us for liking Dave Chappelle, everybody. To all you listeners out there.
Yeah. For sure. And for all the listeners, I'm interested to see which side are you on? To cancel or not to cancel? That is the question.
Who knows? Maybe they'll cancel us next.
Yeah, we're done. We're off the show. Well, I mean, I think we only have like, you know, 10 listeners, so we'll be down to. No, I'm just kidding. No, we got a lot of listeners. We got a lot of listeners. But yes, thank you very much, Callie, for being on the show. I think this is definitely a very controversial topic that we picked to talk about, and I'm glad that we have you on here to talk about it with us. And I'd like to maybe even pick your brains on other topics in future episodes. So thanks again for coming on to the show,
and thank you for putting up with me and having me on your show.
No, you've been a pleasure putting up with you. You've been awesome.
And thank you, guys.
For our listeners out there, please also follow us on Off the Walk Podcast on Instagram as well, too, for all of our latest episodes, like this one that's going to be put up once we get it all done up. Callie, I believe you also have a TikTok channel.
I do.
What's your handle on that?
Let me pull it up because I haven't updated in a while.
Oh, okay. I'm not even going to lie. I don't even have TikTok myself.
I'm scared to get canceled now. So
it's a real thing.
So it's a tk.talk_. So find me on that.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, thank you, Callie. And until next time, till we walk again.
Thank you.